Okay, let's stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. Once again, verses 1 through 3, we'll read them all together. Ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful, wonderful day this is. To some folks, it's not as wonderful as they would like it. It seems to them to be too cold. But it's the day that the family gathers at First Baptist Church of Hammond. We thank you for this great church. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of the church. And we're thankful for our guests today. Thank you that we get to show them something of what this church and its ministry is all about. We pray that you'd work in every heart, whether member or guest. We pray that you'd give of thy Spirit's power to our preacher, to each listener. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for your goodness to us and all that you've done through him and through the ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was thanking God this morning for our music when I was listening to Brother Hackett sing. I thank God that our music here is not a performance or a show. Thank God nobody's up here trying to put on a show. Nobody's going to sell you tickets to hear him sing. As I heard Brother Hackett rewrite that stanza to the old rugged cross a while ago, I couldn't help but thank God as a church where you can do that, and they still thank God for you. And I know why he did it. His mind was on the cross, and all of a sudden he had to. I wonder how he's going to get out of it. I think he did a pretty good job myself. I wish I'd get out of the message. I make my sermons like he gets out of that. I want to speak this morning on the subject, hey, this recipe ain't working. It's dedicated to all the wives here this morning. Hey, this recipe ain't working. Now it's 11:43. I always make this promise, and I always keep it. By 12:10, I'll be finishing. You won't have to worry about 12:05. When is this guy going to come in for a landing? I'll be landed and it at the gate by 12:10. And we'll be gone from this place by 12:30. And you folks who are members of our church know that promise is always made and that promise is always kept. Except when I don't keep it. But I will preach no longer than 25 minutes, and that's a miracle. And if you stay awake, that'll be a greater miracle. But I do want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen quickly now as I speak on the subject. Hey, this recipe ain't working. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious moments. The day will come when all of us will remember them. The day will come when many of us from hospital beds or rest homes shall remember these days. They will come when many of us from distant land, distant states will remember these days. Help us to savor them. Help us to get off the interstate and see America and see what's happening, especially here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a sermon, I used to preach it a lot, called God's Recipes. You see, basically that's what the Bible's all about. The Bible is a list of recipes. God says, you do this, and this, and this, and I'll do this, and this, and this. And by the way, they always work. They always work. God gives us in the book a list of recipes. For example, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. What? Pray. What? Seek my face. What? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I. See, God waits till you. And after you do what God says you're supposed to do, then he says, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, there's a recipe for revival. It'll always work. It always has worked. It always will work. If God's people. America's not going to be saved because the homosexuals get straight. America's not going to be saved because the drunkards get sober. America's not going to be saved because the baby murderers decide to quit breaking the law and committing murder. America's going to be saved according to God's recipe. God never said if my people will quit drinking, if the devil's people will quit drinking and quit smoking and quit murdering babies and quit taking dope and quit drinking alcoholic beverages and get straight sexually, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. No. God said, it's my people. So if America does not get straightened out, it'll be your fault and not the homosexual's fault. It'll be your fault and not the movie industry's fault. If my people. Now, that's God's recipe. If my people call my name, shall what? Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from wicked ways. Then, God says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin, heal the land. Recipe. Psalm 1, we read a while ago. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's number one. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's number two. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's number three. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's number four. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's number five. Now that's the recipe. Now what does that make? God said, he should be like a tree planted with the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and here's what it brings. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, you want a way where everything you do, everything that you do will prosper? God has it. It's God's recipe, and God's recipes never fail. God's cakes never fall. And yours do. I've eaten some of them, God's rolls never fall. I'm saying it's a recipe. It's a recipe. If you'll not walk in the counsel of ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in this book and meditate there and day and night, God said, whatsoever you do will prosper. A recipe. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be given you. That's God's recipe. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. Oh, you sit for the hounds. I've been asking God for something. I didn't get it. Yeah, but you're not abiding in Christ. Because if you abide in Christ and live in him, and this book lives in you, God can trust you to ask what you want, because you'll want what God wants for you. And that's God's recipe. God's recipes never fail. Example, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. If I love God, that word is agape, not phileo. If I deeply in my heart love my God, and if I live in his will, everything that happens to me works together for the good. It does not mean that he'll change what happens to me. It means he will take what was going to happen to me already and make that for good instead of for bad. Example, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What does that mean? That means never has been a person who heard the words of God and believed on him for salvation who didn't get saved. It's exactly what it means. That's God's recipe. For example, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to find the will of God? Romans 12:1-2 tells you how to find the will of God. It's God's recipe. Never fails. For example, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Example, Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And all throughout this book, over and over and over again, it's one recipe after another. If you want to know what to cook up, you can find the answer in this book. And they never, never fail. But I preached my sermon one time on God's recipes, and I went through about 15-20 of God's recipes and told how they always work, illustrations about it and so forth. And I saw a fellow on the street a few days later, and he said, hey, preacher, this recipe ain't working. Listen to me now. He said, this recipe ain't working. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I tried Psalm 1. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I did that. I quit standing in the way of sinners. I quit sitting in the seat of the scornful. I delight myself in the word of God, and I meditate there and day and night. But he said, everything I am doing is not prospering. And I said, yes, it is. Are you listening? I said, yes, it is. He said, why do you say that? I said, God, you're prospering. He said, I'm prospering? Look at this. I said, that's prospering. Well, he said, how do you know that's prospering? I said, it's because God calls that prospering. He said, do you call this prospering? I said, no, but God does. And I said to him, you don't know what prospering is. God knows what prospering is. Now you listen to me. God did not say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight in his law of the Lord, and his law is meditated day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the river of waters, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he thinks prosperity is, I'll give to him. No, God says it'll prosper. So if you are doing those five things, you're prospering. Now you may not have you can make a car payment next month, but you're prospering. I'm saying God knows what prosperity is, and you don't. I was talking to a fellow. He said, preacher, John 5:24 didn't work for me. He said, the Bible says, Jesus said, he that heareth my words, that's number one, and believes on him that sent me, that's number two, hath everlasting life. That means he hath it now, not when he dies someday. Has it now. I'm not going to get eternal life when I die. I got it when I got saved. I have it now. I'm not holding out faithful to the end. The fellow said to the house, you hold out faithful to the end. I said, I didn't start holding out faithful. I started by faith. I'll end by faith. But I said, but Jesus said, if you hear his words and believe on him for salvation, trust him for salvation, you have everlasting life, you shall not come into condemnation, and you are already passed from death unto life. And the fellow said, preacher, it didn't work for me. I said, yes, it did. He said, I did it, and I'm not saved. I said, yes, you are. Did you hear what I said? He said, how do you know I'm saved? I said, the Bible says it. He said, I heard the word and trusted God through his son for my salvation, and I'm not saved. I said, yes, you are. He said, I don't feel saved. I said, that's what it says. Didn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but will feel he's saved. Said, you'll be saved. He said, did you say, I'm saved? I said, if you did what God said, you are. I said, did you ever tell a lie? He said, yes, I did. I said, did God ever tell a lie? He said, no, he didn't. Okay, I've got to believe one of you. Which one do you think I ought to believe? He cocked his head like a dog trying to look at you, and he said, hold it now. You're trying to convince me I'm saved. I said, if you have heard his word and believed on him, yes, I'm telling you you're saved. If you say you're not, you're full of prunes. He said, I don't feel it. I said, God didn't say you'd feel it. He said, okay, I'll just tell you, I'm not saved. I said, God says you are. And he said, I said, which do you think I ought to believe? Have you ever told a lie? Yes. Has God ever told a lie? No. Then whom do you think I ought to believe? You are God. And a big old wide grin came across his face, and he said, why don't we both believe God? And brother, then he began to feel it and had a spell. Don't you see what I'm saying? You don't get saved because you have a spell. You don't get saved because you have a tingle. You get saved because you use God's recipe for salvation. Now, this morning, the question is, have you heard his word? And if you lied,
Not on what you do, but what Jesus did. Not what the priest did, but what Jesus did. Not what the Pope does, but what you do, what Jesus did. Not what baptism does, but what Jesus did. Not what the sacraments have done, but what Jesus did. Are you relying upon Him? If you don't feel saved, if you have done what God said to do, you are saved. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to believe God, not you.
A fellow said to me, he said, I claim Psalm 37:4, but I don't have the desires of my heart. I said, yes, you do. He showed me his house and his salary and his bank account. He said, are these the desires of my heart? I said, yeah.
Why? He said, they're not either. I know my heart.
I said, no, you don't know your heart. The Bible says you can deceive yourself.
We say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. And God said, ye know not what ye have need of. But if God said, delight yourself in Him, and He'll give you the desires of your heart, I don't care what you got, if you delighted yourself, those are the desires of your heart. Why don't we quit playing Christianity, charismatic Christianity, and play Bible Christianity? Let's quit playing I've got a word of knowledge and say I've got the word of God. It's time we built our salvation on what God says. It's time we built our prosperity on what God says. It's time we built what we have on what God says, and not how we feel, and not how we shout, and not how we tingle. Hey, this recipe ain't working. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is.
Fellow said one time, said, Romans 8:28 is not working too well for me.
And I said, yes, Romans 8:28 is working very well for you. Now he said, wait a minute. Romans 8:28 says, and you know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those are called according to His purpose. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, nothing's working out good for me. I said, yes, it is. I said, if you love God, and that's agape again, if you love God, and you're living in the center and doing the will of God, I said, all things work together for good for you. He said, you call this working together for good? I said, no, but God does. Now you listen to me. It's time you quit trying to tell God how to make something turn out. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. He said, you call this good? I said, no, I don't. But God calls it good. Hey, this recipe ain't working. Yes, it is. All God's recipes work. You see, what you call good and what God calls good are not the same things. And what you call prosperity, and I'll be honest with you, I can hardly, when I'm in a motel room sometimes trying to find something decent, I can hardly, for 10 seconds, watch one of these charismatic false teachers without wanting to take a brick and throw it at the television set. Seed money. But they always tell you where to plant it. And I'd like for some of those rascals to send me some seed money every once in a while. Or send that poor widow out there that they've hoodwinked out of her money, send her some seed money every once in a while. Now I want to tell you something. This thing of living for God never has been, is not, and never will be based on human delight and prosperity as we count it. Well, if you'll serve God, God will make you rich. You put your hand on that television set. Man, I've sat on that thing. It didn't do any good. Let God decide what good is. Let God decide what prospering is. Let God decide what the desires of your heart are. You simply do what God says do, and let God decide what it makes. But He'll always make what He said it made. Now, let's use the logic, and I've got to hurry. Four steps. One, God said if I met the conditions, it would work. Number two, I meet those conditions. Number three, It may not appear to me to have worked. Number four, but I know it's working because God said it would, and I believe God. I opened the other day my mail. And all of you know the things that have fallen out in my life in the last 2 or 3 years. Open the mail. A wicked man has sent me a subpoena. One of our deacons has been wrongly accused of molesting a child. And I said again, I'm for him to the finish. But they sent me a subpoena, suing me and the church for $1 million. I know me and I know the church. They better put that down about 100. Because we ain't got $1 million. But suing me. And I have a little, it takes me a little while to believe all this, these things, you know, for this stuff. But I believe the Bible, but when something happens, it takes a little while for me to believe it, to remind myself it's true. And I moped for a little while, and I said later on, I said, this is for good. It's for good. For good. Why? I know as much as I know that 2 and 2 is 4, and that God is on his throne, I know that I love God with all my heart. I know that, and God knows it. And I know that I am in his will and doing his will, and I know whatever he said to me to do today, I do it, and my Bible said it worked together for good. So this is good. Sat in my room Friday night. Phone rang. Dr. Evans' voice. I know what Dr. Evans called, something's wrong. He never has any good news. Manure spreader. He's president of Ohio Nursing College. You visitors. And I knew when I heard his voice, something was wrong. In fact, the last time he called me when I was on the road was years ago, and I was in Cherry Hill, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia. And he said the same thing this time he said last time. He said there's been a fire. And I said, Doc, where is it? He said it started in the computer room. Well, God knows I don't like computers anyhow, so I've lost a thing. I don't own one. I don't know how to work one. We don't have any in the church, unless some of our staff members do. I don't mess with them. They're spooky. And I dead sure wouldn't have a fax machine. Ain't no way. No way. That's spooky to me, brother. I'm too old for that stuff. That's Antichrist stuff. But Doc said it's in the computer room. I said, is anywhere else? He said, don't know yet. He said, maybe in the ductwork. Poor dumb guy. Ductwork can't burn. Can it? Now, I sat down in the chair after Dr. Evans had finished. I talked to Clyde Wolf and Daryl Moore. And I did not know if that fire was going to sweep our entire campus or not. And I was within 30 minutes of preaching or going to the service. And after I sat there a while, I said to myself, this is good. This is good. Got to the service, somebody looked at me like my family had been all killed in a car wreck. I said,
I'm sorry.
I said, for what? They said, you know what? Have you heard? I said, yeah. Some good's happened. This guy had heard me. He'd been around me a lot. He said, you been drinking again? I showed him Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, especially those who've got a lot of demerits. has joined the camp of the saints this morning. But it's good. It's good. It may not feel good, look good. I may not can tell you how it's good, but it's good. This morning I heard of a preacher boy that I thought worshiped me. Now that's too strong a word, you know it. But I thought he idolized me. That's a stronger word still. I thought I was his hero. And this morning, all of a sudden, I had some reason to suspicion the fact that he may have changed. One of our graduates. And it hurt. And I drove around to the church. I was driving to church this morning. As I drove to church, I was thinking about it. And then I remember what I was preaching on. This has got to be good or my whole sermon's ruined. It's good. It's good. It's good. Well, you say, how can you figure it's good? God didn't say you could figure it's good. He said it'd be good. This recipe's not working. Oh, yes, it is. I'm not prospering. If you're doing those five things, you are. If you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly or standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but you're delighting yourself in this book, and in this book you meditate day and night, bless God, you're prospering. I don't care if you're flat busted, lost your job, you're prospering. I don't care if you're sick, you're prospering. Because God said it, and my God doesn't lie, and God doesn't owe you a debt to make that you see what prosperity is, but God does owe you a debt to see to it that what He knows prosperity is comes to your life if you do those five things. Now, I've got to hurry, and I got 25 more minutes, but time is gone. I want to say quickly, this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, don't you listen to folks that say, oh, come down here and feel it and you'll be saved. Don't you listen to that garbage. You do what God said do. God said you're a sinner. God said the wages of sin is death. God said sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. God said you're a sinner, and God said you die in your sins, you're going to hell to burn forever and ever. Now you say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. God said it. God also said that Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, lived above sin, never did wrong, went to the cross, paid the penalty for sin, paid your debt, took your place as your substitute, and rose again after 72 hours for your justification, and ascended back to the Father to plead your case on the right hand of the Father. And God said, if you would rely upon that as your hope for heaven, you'd go to heaven when you die. Tingle, no tingle. Feel, no feel. He said it. And bless God, I believe it. This morning, if you're here, you've never taken time to do what God said. Not, now you say, oh, when my time comes, I'll know it. If you mean God's going to knock you in the head and drag you to the kingdom, you don't know what you're talking about. Your time came the first time you heard that Jesus died for you on the cross. This morning, if you're here and you don't know if you'd go to heaven if you died, or if you're trusting something other than what He did. Lionel Moody said there are two religions, do and done. Do and done. Do is a false religion. Done is the true religion. Do is what you do. Done is what He's done. And you're not saved by what you do, but by trusting what He's done. We're going to stand in a few moments and sing. And if you want to make this the day when your sins are forgiven and your name is written in heaven, you walk down these aisles and let somebody tell you exactly what it means. And you can walk out of the building this morning knowing you're saved, not because you feel it, but because God says it. Shall we stand, please? In a moment, the choir's going to sing. It's exactly 12:10. In a moment, the choir's going to sing. Start trusting what He said, not what you feel. If you want to know that you're saved this morning, there's a recipe. You come and say yes to Christ. Somebody will be at the end of every aisle. They'll receive you and tell you how you can know for sure, certain, you'll go to heaven when you die, not based on what you think, but what God said. Not based on what you've done or do, but what God has done. And you can go to heaven if you want to. The choir's going to sing. If you want to come this morning and you're been saved but not baptized, you come and let us baptize you and let the folks see the outward expression of the inward experience that you've had.